You know, I see some, you know, wild things happening, and a guy gets stabbed with a plate glass through him, you know, and he's dead, and then all of a sudden he steps up out of his body, and there he, I thought, well, what's this movie all about, you know? That looks interesting, you know? And then this guy's looking around, and he thinks, where am I? And all of a sudden, here's these black-looking things that come from somewhere, come up out of the ground and out of the walls and everything, and they start getting him, and he's screaming as these things are carrying him off somewhere. I thought, that looks interesting. I'm going to get my headset. I'm going to listen to that. But in this movie, that's what it was about. Every time somebody that was wicked, that was living a terrible life, I mean, when they got killed, that's just like one of the guys that had been killing people and murdering people and all kinds of stuff. He got killed in a car wreck on a street. I mean, he runs out here, and when he does, here comes a truck and a bus, and they're trying to stop, and he's out in the middle of the street, and he looks up. Here's a bus coming this way and a truck this way, and he gets right between them. Bam! Kills him. Throws him up on the hood, blood everywhere, dead. And all of a sudden, whoosh, out he steps. Totally well. He looks down, he says, where am I? And again, these same demons come from the ground and they get him and carry him screaming into the pit of hell. I thought, you know, this is really what's going on. This is really what's happening. Every time somebody dies that has not made Jesus Lord of their life, it's when they step out and they're free for the first time ever. They step out and look back and see their body. And don't you know that's going to be a shock? That's my body. I mean, and then all of a sudden they hear the screaming of these beasts. And they carry them into the abyss. But yet every one of us that know Jesus, regardless of how we die, whether it's a car wreck or that plate glass stuck through your body or whatever it was, however you die, when you step out of your body and you look up, guess it's going to be there to get you? Jesus and the angels. And you're going to know. When you look up, just like Miss Maida Pennington, I'll never forget that experience. Miss Maida Pennington was 80-something years old, and she was a member of the First Baptist Church in Justin, and she almost always wore a red dress. I bet that little woman didn't weigh 100 pounds, little bitty, slim lady, and she'd raised her children. Her husband had already died. Her 65-year-old son, John, he had already died, and she's 80-something years old, and she gets to feeling bad. But she used to come to church every Sunday, and she took steps about this big. Little Miss Maida, you know, Miss Maida, how are you doing today? Oh, I'm doing fine, Thurman, doing fine. You know, just a sweet little lady, just a sweet little lady. She got the feeling bad. They took her up to Denton in the hospital, and she went comatose almost instantly. The doctor said, we don't think she's going to recover. So Benny Craver was our pastor at the Baptist church at that time. So he heard she was in bad shape, so he went up there that Wednesday, and he was sitting in a room, just sitting there. And he was reading a book. I mean, just kind of sitting there, waiting on family or who know whatever, just being a good pastor for a little family. That's what you have to do sometimes. So he just sat, ain't nobody in the room but her and him. And he's just reading a book, sitting there. All of a sudden, she becomes not comatose. She opens her eyes and she looks around and she says, John. That was her son that had already died at 65. John, that's you. And John, that's Jesus with you. And she reaches up her hand like this, and the little hand, she squeezes it like she took Jesus or John's hand, and the little hand just fell down beside the bed, and she was gone. Benny got up and ran out and told her, look, come check her. And she was gone. He told us at church that night, he said, I was in the room with God. But that shouldn't scare us. We're in the room with the King. Because where's the King? He's in us. You're always in the room with the King. So don't be afraid. You know, learn who we are. Learn the spiritual authority. Learn who Jesus is. He is the head of the church, which is His body. He is the first of all who will rise from the dead. So He's first in everything. Everything He's first in. He's the firstborn from the dead, and you and I got a number. It's way on down the line. But each one of us will have our own personal rapture one day. You know, it may not be when the whole church is caught away, but if He puts off a few more years, every one of us will have our own personal rapture. In fact, Eldon told me the other day, he had a little attack from the enemy at home, and he thought he was fixing to have his personal rapture. He was hurting that bad, wasn't you, Eldon? He was hurting. He really thought he was going to die. And I really got on him because he didn't call me to pray for him. I said, I can't believe. When I got down, I called him. You know, when you get down, call somebody. You know, that's what the body's all about, you know. Call somebody. You know, you need help in these kind of times. You know, because we're fighting against a herd of demons that's trying to kill us. These are the beasts that are trying to kill us. But so, we'll all have our personal rapture. All right, go to the next verse. For God, in all His fullness, was pleased to live in Christ. Now just think, God the Father lived inside of a human being, which was Jesus. Was Jesus all man? Yes, He was. He was 100% man. He had to eat. He had to rest. He got tired. He had to sleep. He had to do everything you and me have to do. There was no difference between Him and us. He was a man. But God was pleased to live in Him, and by Him, God reconciled everything to Himself. He made peace with everything in heaven and on earth by means of His blood on the cross. He made peace with what? Everything. Hey, don't you like that? I love that? Everything. So, if we're walking in obedience to God's Word, do we have to be afraid of God? No, He loves us. He's our Father. He wants to do good things for us. But He expects you to step into the world of faith to get it done. You know, now if you come to Him and say, oh, God, I got this problem and I'm begging and pleading, I've come to realize that don't move His hand. You know, begging and pleading does not move the hand of the King. And the more persistent you are when you pray, the greater authority you pray with, the quicker you're going to get your answer. I mean, I think about that woman that we're going to take out to GLC with us, that woman from Manny, Louisiana, that when I prayed for her in California about 3 years ago, this lady had fell off of a horse or was thrown off of a horse and had a broken back. And she was in excruciating pain. And I called her again over the telephone, a cell phone. I spent 45 minutes with this woman on the phone. You were there with me, wasn't you, honey? Yeah, Cheryl was there with me. I was talking to this woman, and finally I built her faith in about 45 minutes, and I quoted Scripture, and I prayed a prayer of faith for her, and I said, now do you believe Jesus has healed you? She said, yes. I said, good. I said, get up. I said, you're healed. I said, get up. I said, sick people stay in bed, well people get up and do something. I said, if you believe you're healed, I prayed a prayer of faith for you, woman, you're healed. That woman scooted over to the side of the bed and got up and stood and walked off and screamed and ain't never had a pain in her back to this day. Was instantly healed. We went down there the other day and picked her up and brought her all the way back to, what was the name of that little old town? Hillsboro. We got as far as Hillsboro, and the storms, we saw the storms on our computer on out to GLC. So we stopped at Hillsboro, and I called him on the telephone. He said, no, don't come out here. He said, there's hailstones. You know, some of them are big as softballs out here, and the wind's 60 miles an hour. So let me tell you what, I like to fly airplane, but I ain't going to fly one in that. Oh, yeah, and he said also right down the street from the studio there was an 18-wheeler, 18-wheeler that had been blown over on his side. Yeah. So, you know, when the storm like that, you don't want to be out there, do you? No, the safest thing to do. So we turned around. We waited for an hour and a half or 2 hours, and it didn't get any better. We called them again, so we just turned around, loaded them all up, and flew them back down to Manny, Louisiana, and then flew back to Dallas that day. I thought, wow, what an experience. And it was solid IFR the whole trip. I mean, we flew in the clouds. I mean, we landed up here with 700-foot ceilings and 2 miles visibility and everything else. And I'm telling you, when I got back that day, I was tired as if I'd worked all day. You know, I was. That's just like Dave said the other day. He said, when the pastor flies, he works. You know, he's paying attention, he's working. So we don't sit up there and do nothing. We work. And we do. So anyway, it says, For God in all his fullness was pleased to live in Christ, and by him God reconciled everything to himself. He made peace with everything in heaven and on earth by means of his blood on the cross. So technically speaking, God the Father is at peace with you and me today. If we come to Jesus and accept Jesus as Lord and Savior, he has reconciled us to himself and we're at peace with him because of the blood of the Lamb. He said so right there. Now then, the next set of scriptures. This includes you who were once so far away from God, you were his enemies, separated by him by your evil thoughts and actions. Do you see any of us in that bunch? Yeah, it's all of us, isn't it? Our evil thoughts and actions. Now, if you come to know Jesus when you were a young person, and you really come to know him, and you learned who he was, you might not have went through the sowing the wild oats time. But I don't know many people that have ever done that. Most people, they get saved when they're 10 or 11. They don't learn nothing about God's Word. So when you get out there as a teenager, you just do what all the rest of teenagers do. You know what my worst sin was? I like to race cars. I mean, I love to speed. I didn't know what it was to drive the speed limit. I mean, if the speed limit said 60, so what? That's for old fuddy-duddies, you know? I mean, I remember one day I was going to Brownwood. And you know how it is when you're a 18, 19, 20-year-old young man, when you got a girlfriend, you know? And back in the days when they had bench seats where she could sit next to you. You know, you remember those days? Some of you do. So, I had this sweet little girl up here, and I was on a date with her, going to take her to a movie in Brownwood. I had my arm around her, and I'm driving. I had a brand new 59 Chevrolet Impala, and I'm driving 100 miles an hour. Wow. You know, I'm in a little dinky two-lane road, but I know what I'm doing. I'm the best driver in the world. If you don't believe it, ask me. I'll tell you.
Praise the Lord. This is Thurman Scrivener with the Living Savior Ministries. If the teaching you've just heard, if you would like that in its entirety, if you would call our ministry at 940-242-2106. 940-242-2106. We'll be happy to send it to you free and postpaid. You can also order all of our entire teachings, which we have hundreds of them, on the website at tlsm.org, www.tlm.org, tlsm.org. And there you can go to the free teachings. You can order whatever you want. We'll send them to you free and postpaid. And remember, Jesus is Lord.